Hello, I'm Harry Bucknell, stood outside Northampton Station. Thank you for downloading this podcast from ABF, the Soldiers Charity. For this month's edition of General Talk, as we build up to the Soldiering On Awards at the end of the month, I spoke to Royal Artillery veteran Lee Harris-Hamer, whose Whitehorse Cleaning Services won Business of the Year Scale-Up at the ceremony in 2022. Lee's story is a salutary reminder that for all the glitz and glamour of the star-spangled event, the occasion honours triumph over adversity, an often daily struggle for the men and women unsung heroes who selflessly serve in our armed forces in defence of the liberties we hold dear. During the conversation, which was a privilege, there was a degree of table banging in emphasis. I hope you enjoy the programme.
Rome wasn't built in a day. 2022, last year, you were at the Soldiering On Awards. It was the first live event in 3 years held by Soldiering On Awards, part of X-Forces Enterprise. Lord Dannett, veteran minister and champion Johnny Mercer, the inspirational Ren Kapoor, X-Forces Enterprise founder, generals and senior officers Tenapenny, celebs bound to the Irish Guards, a glittering gala black tie occasion with the red carpets and all the pizzazz of a big night out. And rightly so. So what was it like when you won the award?
It was probably the highlight of my career. Not only had somebody nominated us, so it wasn't a self-nomination. When somebody nominates you for who believe that you're incredible and believes in your journey and believes what you're doing, and then you go on to win an award to recognise, that's a huge achievement. And it wasn't just achievement for me personally. Yes, it was great that we won it, but actually it was for the team. We've got a huge team behind us, so I was just ecstatic that their hard work has been recognised because they've played a big part in my journey too. But I could have cried. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah, it was just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
You talked about your journey. Let us not forget that for all the red carpet fun that I talked about just now, there was a lot of pain, a lot of hard work, and a lot of determination and grit for not just you, but all the nominations for the evening and for the Soldiering On Awards in general. I'd like to talk about life before you joined the army. How was it?
Shit. No, it wasn't great. My biological father left when I was very young. And when I was about 10, my mum met a guy who was quite violent, volatile. He was a crook. He was a criminal. It wasn't very nice. Yes, we had, the life was lavish, but the background wasn't so good. And it was tough, you know. And then when I was 13, due to the criminal activity and safeguarding of us as a family, we got moved into a women's refuge where we moved to a safe house in Essex and had to live in a small one-bedroom room with bunk beds for four of us for 6 months. And we were sharing this safe house with prostitutes, drug dealers, other domestic violence people, and everybody who was very vulnerable, you know. And see, that at 13 weren't very nice whatsoever, and it had a huge, at the time, had a huge effect. I was getting over the point that I had to leave my family behind because I was quite close with my nan and my aunties and my sisters, and we got literally 10 minutes to pack our stuff and leave, and we had armed police at our door telling us that we had to leave everything and go. You know, how I dealt with that at 12-year-old, I don't really know and can't really remember, or I remember it was very, what the hell's going on? It had a detrimental effect on my mental health because I couldn't be with my family. You know, we was in this strange place with strange people doing strange things for our own safety, and I felt like I didn't have that protection from my mum or my father. You know, my father still wasn't there when I was 13, my real father, and he's never really been there. So it was hard. It was a very hard part. And then when I was 14, my mum had to go to court to allow us to go back to Kent because she could see it was detrimental that I'd go back to be with my family and my roots. And so she went to court and had to go through social services and all that stuff. And I ended up doing drugs and stuff like that. So then she sent me to go live with my auntie. So I lived with my auntie from 14 to 15, just to get a bit of discipline in my life, to get a bit of... It's something that I've never really talked about, to be honest. it's not something that I tend to share because I'm about a person moving forward rather than looking backwards. But I think it's fundamental that when you do stuff like this, it's good to share things. So anyway, I digress. So then I went to live with my auntie, who gave me love, gave me warmth, and my uncle, and had a bedroom for me. And then my mum eventually moved back down with my little sister. But due to the situation and the events that they went through, my mum ended up being diagnosed with bipolar and became manic depressive. You know, so from the ages of 14 to 16, life was tough.
What made you suddenly decide you wanted to join the army?
My elder sister, who's 3 years older than me, initially joined the army to escape. There was something called IMPACT, and it was basically like an army pre-training course that you do for 6 weeks. And it helped people that was unemployed, like young people that just was going through a little bit of difficulties to find the ladder. And it would either they do like going to public services, or they would go in the army, navy, RAF, and it was run by a guy called Cliff. And Cliff weren't a youth worker, but he was like the saviour to many people, giving them that confidence that they can go in the military, because we had no military experience, my family, other than my great-great-granddad who served in World War II. Anyway, my sister joined and she escaped, and I felt like I needed that little bit of escapism. I wanted to follow her and what she was doing, what she was achieving, seeing the world. And you feel when you join the army, all your problems go away. You know, it gives you structure. You have your brother and sisterhood. You have that family. You know, you're all one. You know, so I think that's why a lot of people join the military anyway, to escape from difficult past. Especially when you come from a broken home, and you get given a little bit of hope, don't you? You get told you can achieve, and they put a lot of confidence in you, as well as the discipline, the courage, and everything else that comes. So my uncle turned around and said he didn't think that I could join the army because I wasn't manly enough. I wasn't. And throughout my journey, whether it's as a child, in the army, or as business, if you tell me I can't do something, I will prove to you, I'll walk hell on earth to go and prove to you wrong. So by him telling me I wouldn't be able to do it, gave me the courage to go on and do it.
I presume, therefore, that it's fair to say the army offered you all that you were missing in life at that point.
Oh, absolutely.
What was your first impressions when you arrived to join the Royal Artillery?
I just felt at home. I was actually, originally I signed up to join the RLC, but I changed cap badges during the training, and actually I thought, big guns, you know, it sounds a bit more meatier than driving a truck. Even though I knew that by going to the RLC I was probably going to get more transferable skills.
There's not much call for firing a howitzer in civilian life, is there really?
No, absolutely. I wanted to be with my friends. The thought of going up north, you know, I'd never ventured up north, never ventured past London and Essex. So the thought of going up north sounded quite good too. So I got posted to 4th Regiment Royal Artillery that's based up at Topcliffe, North Yorkshire. So I served with them for 8 years. And the only time I left was to go on Herrick with 5th Regiment.
By the end of that tour, you were a Lance Bombardier. You were tipped for future promotion. You were on your Bombardier's course. Yeah. And then you suffered severe injury. What happened there?
We was on a training camp up in Otterburn, and we got absolutely beasted. I was running with an RAF mat, basically, one of the old green 70s mat, and we had it above our head. I just felt my the top of my back go, and my T3 and 4 basically exploded.
It was your vertebrae.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, for me, it was that day that happened. I tried pushing through, but I just couldn't. And that day, I felt like my whole world come crashing down. And I can still picture myself there now when they told me that I had to go back to CDMO. I just knew that it was the beginning of the end, unfortunately. But everything happens for a reason.
Of course, being injured in the military, you sort of live in a half world where people look at you askance and they're never quite sure what the situation is, and you probably look perfectly fine. How long were you in that half world?
So that was in 2014, and I got discharged on the 11th of August 2016.
So, and were your injuries fully healed?
No, I still suffer now, but I don't let it define me.
You must presume you had your sights set on a career in the Royal Artillery, and suddenly that was dashed over a 2-year period. That must have played havoc with your mind and your ambition too.
I remember I was at home on sick leave, and my wife was at work, and my son was at nursery. All of a sudden, I had this feeling, and I felt like I was going to die. My chest was so tight. My breathing was heavy and I was like, I think I'm having a heart attack here. And it was the first time that I felt mental health. And I was actually having a panic attack. But I know why it was happening, because I was losing my house, my job. I felt I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't even lift my son that was 2 years old, you know. It plays havoc with your mind. And 6 months went on and the doctor diagnosed me with clinical anxiety and depression. But I really couldn't rationalise what was going on. I went to the med board and he was like, unfortunately, you're unfit for duty.
So in many ways, it was like your childhood coming back to revisit you in that sense.
It's a sense of loss. So it was, this was probably the next point. So I've had like 2 mental breakdowns. One was when I was leaving the army and one was when I, about 2 years ago. And it's throughout my life, I've always had a sense of loss. So my dad walked out, so I lost my dad. We got put in a women's refuge, so I lost my home. And then I lost my family. And then I was moving back to Kent, so then I lost all my friends. Went to the army. Everything was great. And then I got injured. I was going to lose my job. You know, we had to find a new house. I was losing my home. I'm not too sure if my wife would stick with me through this. I weren't a very nice person. I weren't being a very good dad. I felt like I was incapable of being a husband, you know. So again, it's that sense of loss, and it drove me insane. You know, you question everything, about life. And I also didn't know what my next steps were going to be. No qualifications, had no previous experience being in the military. I went in the artillery where I didn't get any formal qualifications that I thought at that time was transferable. A whole new world, from 17 to being 25, and having to start all over again.
So here we are, 2016, you're in the Personal Recovery Centre at Cashery. Life's not looking good. What happened? What was the spark that made you, as you said in your own words, take a risk? Why?
Andy, who was my personal recovery unit, he was great. Absolutely. Andy Pownley, his name was, and he was a phenomenal man. Absolutely phenomenal man. And he really looked after me and my family. And he was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. My friend said to me, why don't you start up a cleaning business? You don't need a lot of funds. Just start that up. And I was like, not a bad idea. And I told Andy this because we was looking at all the options. And he sent me on. It was a one-day X-Forces introduction into business course funded by the ABF. And it was up at Middlesbrough. And I went and they took you through what it's like to be a business owner. And I went and I remember it. It was in this classroom and I was like, do you know what? I could have a little bit of this. And I went home and I can remember the total day that Whitehorse Cleaning Services was formed, or the idea was formed. And I sat at my table in my quarter, and from where my quarter was, you could see the Whitehorse on the hill, just where we live in the Valley York. And I said to my wife my plans, and I said, what business name can we come up with? And she was like, there's a massive great horse on the hill. It's relevant to the area, so why don't you call it Whitehorse Cleaning Services? And that day was formed. And then whilst I was in the PIU, part of the thing, you had to do something to help heroes. Another X-Forces masterclass with Ren and Martin.
This is Ren Kapoor.
Ren Kapoor, who's the chief executive. Martin Wing, who's also the co-chief executive, took me through it. I've written a business plan. But the issue was funding. The money I got from army for medical discharge, I paid off all our debts, so we didn't have to worry about that. And the ABF kindly gave me some funding to buy some equipment. So they bought my carpet cleaning machine, which was about $4,000. And which, at this point, it was to have that support and the people who want to help. And bear in mind, I weren't in a fit enough state mentally to be able to cope with all this. So having that support network to lead me through this, and I can't really remember the ins and outs of how the business was formed, because I was mentally unstable.
Your wife, Brogan, she must have played a key role in this too, supporting you at the same time.
Brogan turned around and told me not to do it. Brogan turned around and said, I don't think you should set up your own business, and don't set up your own business. She was like, because we don't have security, we know nothing about business, and I just think you should go get a 9-to-5 job like any other normal person would. And I turned around and I was like, again, you're telling me not to do something. So as I do, I went on, stuck 2 fingers up at her and went on and said, I can't believe it.
But she stuck by you. Never mind the 2 fingers, she stuck by you.
Yeah.
Does she eat a hat now?
A little bit, she does. Yeah, she does, and she did stick by me, and it's probably the only thing that I would have to take to the grave is it's a positive that she stuck by me, and she's such an amazing, incredible woman that's put up with so much crap from me. It's unbelievable, because any other person would have walked away for sure. But she, as she said, I married you, and I married you for a reason. And part of this, the hardest thing about my journey so far was 6 months ago, she told me something, and it's something that hit me right in the gut. And she told me when I set up my business, because the income weren't coming in that was paying our bills, she was working too. She went out and got herself in debt and borrowed money from her parents to keep my family afloat. And she protected me, knowing that my bubble wasn't the bubble that I thought it was.
So what is it about Lee Hamer Harris that all these people want to protect you and surround you and look after you and ensure that you keep on the straight and narrow?
That's a hard question, because I generally don't know. I'm nothing special, you know. So I love people. I love talking to people. I love helping people, guiding people. And I believe I got put on this planet to help, guide and support
so you
people.
Now I have a business which is award-winning. You've got offices in Bolton and Thirsk. You employ nearly 50 people. You have values. You work in the industrial, commercial, educational and communal sectors. But you've got values which you describe in the mnemonic CLEAN. Can you talk through the mnemonic CLEAN and what that means for your business?
Oh, absolutely. C, so consistency. Everything you do has to be consistent. So if you're shit, be consistently shit. You'll stand out. My business model, if it is about sending the same people at the same time, doing the same job, and then everyone knows what's going on. And if you're going to be consistently awesome, be consistently awesome, you know, be on time. It is what the military taught us, be on time every time, you know, unless you're an officer, you know. I like to have my ducks in a row all the time. So consistency for me, I think, is the key to business. Then you've got loyalty to staff and loyalty to customers. So I'll give my clients everything. I will put all the hard work and the big guns to all my clients to ensure they receive the service that they expect. I will be loyal to my staff. I'll bend over backwards for anybody and do anything for anybody, because that's just the way a person am, but I also expect that back. You know, loyalty works both ways. So effort, for me, it's no matter what you do or no matter what you do, where you go, just do your best. You know, your best is good enough for anybody. If you turn around and say you've done your best, that's fine. You can't give any more than your best. So anything you do, and I think, and that's the same with this business, it's everything. And I remember walking into an accountant's office when I first started the business, and I was like, I'm Lee Harris Hamer and I want to start my own cleaning business. She turned around and said to me, what's your plan B, because your plan ain't gonna work. And I said, love, my plan B is plan A, to make plan A work. And again, she told me not to do something. So I've made it my prerogative to put 100% of my effort into my business, into my staff, and into my clients. You're gonna deliver what you say you can deliver. People buy into that. People want that, you know. And then you've got accountability. I think it's fundamental. No matter whatever you do in your life, you have to be held accountable. And so if my staff fuck up, hold your hands up and be accountable and say, I fucked up. You know, and also if I'm not doing my job properly, I expect my staff to hold me accountable. It could be through employment law. It could be through lots of different things. You know, you have to be held accountable. And you've got noticeably. I want to be noticeably better than every single cleaning company out there. And how am I going to do that? I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to put 100% of my effort into it. And that will make us noticeably better than everybody else. Because anybody can start a cleaning business, but can they be the best at it is the question. And that's why we have them values of pneumatic clean, and we're cleaning. And so then the staff can pick their pneumatics up and live by it.
You went on the Catherine Yonk this year. How did you find that, considering you're carrying a back injury?
It broke me. But the thing about the Catherine Yonk, it's just got something. It makes you, even though it absolutely broke me, it makes you want to go back and do it again. I only got to silver. So from silver to gold, I think I had another 18 miles to go. I could have probably done another 10, but I knew I didn't have 18 in me. So I made a decision to stop at silver, and I'm glad I did. And actually, I came off at silver feeling achieved, feeling I achieved something. You know, we raised £8,500 as a team for the charity. You know, we only wanted to raise three. And I wanted to do it to show people, no matter what you face, you still can do things. You can still go on and raise funds. And I always said that all the support, guidance and love that the ABF has shown me, I've always said I'll be forever in their debt. And it's a debt that all is a lifelong debt, so I will always repay. And they will also get my time to help other veterans, service leavers and families. And also, if I can inspire other people within that community to go on and do better, especially when they're faced with adversity, and that allows me to sleep at night.
Life throws unexpected balls at us all, even lobs grenades sometimes. It's not been easy for you. What advice have you got for service personnel in a similar position that you were in 7 years ago? No job, no house, no future.
Determination. You can beat mental health if you want to beat mental health. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do something. Go on and do it. And follow your instinct. At every decision I've made within my business, I've never had experience in running a business. I didn't know what a cash flow forecast was. I didn't know what a balance sheet was. I didn't know how to sell to a client's job. I didn't know any of that. You know, but my instinct told me. Surround yourself with the right people. It's fundamental that you pick the right people. I surrounded myself with people that I know that loves and supports me for who I am, but also will help guide me in the next direction. Don't be scared to ask for help. Adversity is a funny thing, and if you can get it by the balls, run with it. It's having the effort, the courage, the determination to do what you want to do, not what others believe you should be doing.
You said on numerous occasions during this interview, you told me I can't do something, I'll go and do it. So what's next?
Our short-term plan, we hope to raise £1 million turnover. We are looking to explore more national contracts. I don't just want to be in Thurston and Bolton. I want to be all over the UK because I want to share my love. And I've got a lot of love to give through employment. I want to give people opportunities. And so I'm hoping to double the amount of staff we've got in the next 12 months. So I want 100 members of staff. I want to upskill and incorporate structure within my business. We already do it, but I want to upskill my staff. I want them to be the best skilled cleaners that I can offer. And also we are currently working on a plan to incorporate a solid management team. We will have a sales director, finance director, we will have all that. Then we're looking at adding a department within the business where we're going to start offering commercial laundry services to holiday cottages and hotels and stuff. And just continue doing what we're doing. If it's not broken, don't change it, I say. Long term, in 10 years time, I want to sit in the south of France in a coffee shop, drinking coffee, enjoying life.
I think you said a bottle of wine or two, is that
and
right?
A bottle of wine, absolutely.
Well, we wish you and White Horse Cleaning Services every good fortune. Thank you for being my guest on General Talk this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
And my thanks once again to Lee Harris-Hamer. Further details about the Soldiering On Awards can be found at soldieringon.org. To learn more about the activities of X-Forces Enterprise, visit xforces.com. As in letter X for X-ray, -forces.com. For a good cleanup, visit whitehorsecleaningservices.co.uk. Last but not least, if you enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more, visit soldierscharity.org. And as we close with Voice of the Guns, on behalf of General Tim Hyams and everyone at ABF the Soldiers Charity, we wish all the nominees for this year's Soldiering On Awards the very best of luck. From me, Harry Bucknell, thank you for listening, and until next time, keep smiling through and farewell. Kernahan, with studio editing by Michael Stiglianu. This has been a GameCube production for ABF, the Soldiers Charity.